Well, it sure is great to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we trust that you do. It might just be that you're here tonight and have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you think you know Him or whatever, but if you've never trusted in Him, I trust that tonight you think about that. There's no friend like Him, and we are thankful for them. He's not only the greatest friend you ever have, He's the greatest storyteller. Did you know that? One of the great movements in preaching today is who's the best storyteller? And we're not supposed to use alliteration. We're not supposed to have 3 points in a poem and the whole nine yards. We're supposed to be storytellers. And when I read that, I always go, wow, you think you guys are cutting edge. Let me take you to the Bible and let me tell you the best storyteller in the whole world. And you know who that was? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. He could really get your attention. And tonight we have a real short story, but I suspect you're not going to get it. Do you think you will? Matthew chapter 7, verse 6 goes like this. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the hogs, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Got it? Understand it? Should we go home? F.F. Bruce said in his book, Hard Sayings of Christ, this is one of the toughest. And the more I studied it, the more I realized that probably I missed it all my life. I missed the whole schmear of what he was trying to say. So tonight we're going to try to understand it. So let's go back to that time and just pick up the story and see if we can understand the story, because the story is given to give us a truth. So as you look at the story, there's a couple of things that are a part of it. First of all, you recognize there's an action that goes on or a restriction that he gives. And he simply says in verse 6, do not give nor cast. Picks up those two words. We read right by them, but make sure you understand them. Do not give and do not cast. Pastor Moore, can you catch? He's good. All right. That was not my wife's ring. That was just a piece of candy. You know what I did? I just gave it to him. I cast it to him. Once I let go of it, it was in the air. It was for him. He can take it. He can use it. He can give it to his wife. He can do whatever he wants. He says, do not entrust, hand over, don't fling, so that you have let go of it and you have let go of the control of it. Do not hand over or entrust, do not let go of the control of something. And so that's a restriction. Do not cast and do not give. Make sure you don't entrust something. Make sure you don't lose control of something by flinging it in the air so it's no longer in your power. Well, not only do you understand the restriction, you quickly have to understand the recipients. Do not cast or give what is holy to the dogs. So now you got dogs. Nor cast your pearls before the hogs. Now, to us in our world, dogs are, you know, cuddly wuddly and man's best friend and the whole nine yards. But you understand in that day and age, there's only one place that I know of in Scripture that dogs are spoken of in a positive way. And it's really not a positive way, but in a sense it is. In Job chapter 30, verse 1, Job is talking and he talks about the dogs that take care of his flock. Now, you and I think of dogs that mind the sheep and the flocks and so, but that's, as far as I know, the only place in Scripture where dogs is used in any way in a positive way. The rest of the time, every time you pick up on it, it's always used in a negative way. Let me just give you some of the places that it is. It's considered a mongrel, a scavenger, considered ruthless, wild, vicious, dirty, diseased. It's considered like wolves running in packs, snarling. In Deuteronomy 23, it says about the price of a dog, and don't give them just the price of a dog, which is to say, don't give them nothing. Remember, Goliath said to David when he came, he said, you know, what do you think I am, a dog? And you remember David when Saul came to him. Remember Saul was chasing David and got him cornered Saul was in the cave and David could have killed him and he cut off the slithered off that little piece of his thing. When David finally confronted him, he said, do you think I'm a dog? And he went on to say, do you think I'm a flea? Who do you think I am, king? And so David said to Saul, the king, do you think I'm a dog? And you understand again and again in the Scriptures this contemptible concept. In Psalm 22, which is ultimately about Christ, they're snarling like a dog. And Psalm 59, it's the ones who are greedy like a dog. And Isaiah talks about the dogs who never have enough. You know, no matter how much you give them, they're never satisfied. You can go all the way to the book of Revelation at the end. And outside are dogs. and sorcerers and immoral people. And from start to finish in the scripture, a dog is not cuddly wuddly. It's this degraded, contemptible animal. Remember, the worst thing that could happen to you, for you to die and for the dogs to lick up your blood. And that happened to three kings, as you know, in the scriptures. And that was just the most contemptible thing, because they're the most contemptible animal. So on one side, you have dogs, degraded, contemptible, vicious, snarling, greedy, all those kinds of things. On the other side, you have hogs. You understand immediately to a Jew what that would mean. To you and I, that's, ham in the breakfast, and we raise them for all these kinds of great things. But to them, it was that which was most impure, unclean of all the animals. Now, I don't think, in a sense, as you read the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, that any other of the unclean animals were less unclean than the hog. But to a Jew, since most of the other animals really weren't things that they had to deal with, you know, it was the hog that really came into their concept as far as an unclean. That which God had said, you don't eat that one. You stay away from that one. You can read about it so many places. It's contemptible. It's filthy. The book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy says, therefore, don't eat it. It's an unclean animal. And Isaiah, it says this, to eat the flesh of a hog is the worst abomination. So the Jews were bred with that thinking. Dogs, degraded. Hogs, defiled. Both contemptible, just the most contemptible of creatures by their very nature. You could read in Luke chapter 15, you remember when the prodigal son comes to the end of his rope. This whole story is set up to show you a guy who had everything going for him, and he takes all those steps down. And when he's at the bottom of the pit, you know what he is doing? He is feeding hogs. You can't get any lower than that. And so the story is designed. Hogs were the bottom of the pile. They're the most defiled, the least set apart to God. They're the most unclean and all those kinds of things. And so we understand, don't let go of the control of, don't give or cast, hogs and dogs, those that are most contemptible of all the creatures in the world. Those that are degraded and those that are defiled. And then you also understand the resources that you have. And here's what he says in verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the hogs. And so the word holy means that. That which is set apart from that which is common and set apart to God. And really it's a reference to the meats and so that had been offered on the altar for God. And you understand some of that would be burnt up, but some of that would be meats that would be given to the priest and be used in a very, very special way. And you can only imagine what it would mean to a Jew when you said, why don't you take that offer, or that meat that had been offered on the altar, and why don't you give it to a dog? And so he's talking about that which is pure, holy, set apart to God. A Jew would just cringe if they saw their priest take that offering and the meat of it that had been offered on the altar to God. And then the priest walk out and just cast it, throw it, give it to the dog. He couldn't imagine a priest doing that. And so that which is pure, that which is special, that which is holy, that is set apart. And the other side of it is here in verse 6, nor cast your pearls. Now, to us, pearls are very valuable, but they're probably not that valuable. It's not uncommon for you and me and our people to have pearls. In fact, we would want a diamond, or we'd want something else that's a little bit more valuable. But you understand, in that era, a pearl was very, very precious. And remember in Matthew chapter 13 in verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like that passage. And this merchant, he finds the pearl of great price. You know what he had to do? He had to sell everything that he had. So when he picks up the word pearl, he's talking about not that which is pure, that's the first word, but now that which is precious. In fact, he tries to find, perhaps in that culture, that which is the most precious commodity you can have, and that is a pearl. Do you remember the story of Cleopatra? Just to show, in her arrogant way, how rich and wealthy she was, she took pearls, two of them, threw them in her wine, so they would dissolve and be polluted and not be of value. She just said to the whole world, the most valuable commodity in the whole world, I can throw it in the wine to dissolve or be polluted and stained. Watch me. So pearls are at the top of precious. And so he says this, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the hogs. Now you're thinking like a Jew. Now we got it going. He says, here's the reason why. And you all know why. Here's what's going to happen. Lest They trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. And so you understand the way they go. It goes with dogs to hogs. So what are the hogs going to do? They're going to trample. What are the dogs going to do? They're going to tear. Now here's the reason you don't do that. You don't give to dogs meat that's been offered on the altar. And you don't cast to hogs these pearls as they're wallowing through the mud. And here's why. They will trample them under their feet. Hogs will do that. Why would they do that? You would understand that if you walked up to the hogs and you threw something to them, they probably were expecting that it was food. Carobs, or remember the prodigal son, he fed the hogs and it was carobs and some other things, and or peas or something like that. And so you're throwing your pearls before the hogs, they would think what? They would think, let's go eat it. And they'd try one and realize that's no good, so they spit it out, and they would just trample it under feet. They would just see no value in it. They would rather have carobs than pearls. He says, now don't cast your pearls before the hogs, because they're going to just trample underfoot the gift. They don't see the value in it. They can't understand the value in it. They're going to think it's worse than the carob pods or the peas that they might have eaten if they wanted to eat them. Besides that, he says, when it comes to dogs, don't give to the dogs the meats that have been offered on the altars, because here's what's going to happen to that situation. They will turn and tear you in pieces. So the hogs trample the gift. They have disdain. They don't appreciate the gift. They can't understand it. They don't see the value of it. But the dogs, they're going to attack. Not the gift, but who? The giver. And so you don't give meat to dogs that's been offered on the idols, because they're going to turn around and tear at you. Now you have to understand their dogs were different than our dogs, as I said earlier. They were vicious, cruel, wild mongrels. And so this wild mongrel outside the city gates of Jerusalem, and the priest walks out with this meat that's been offered on the altar, what's going to happen if he walks up and says, oh, cuddly wuddly, I'm going to give you a little piece of meat? That dog doesn't understand that. He doesn't understand you're his friend. He's going to grab that meat, and then he's going to turn, and he's going to be vicious, and he's going to attack you. And so we understand that the story of this is simply this. Do not entrust or carelessly fling what is pure and precious to the degraded and defiled creatures known for violence and for uncleanness, because they will not appreciate what you have done, and they will not accept what you have done. They will trample the gift. They will tear to shreds the giver. Can we understand that? I think we can. It's a simple story. Maybe we could say it this way. Whatever stands in special relationship to God and is accordingly very precious should be treated with such reverence and not entrusted to those who by their very nature are wicked and vicious, because they will trample the gift and they will tear to shreds the giver. So we understand the story. But what does it mean? What does that mean for me? What did it mean for them? How do I implement that truth? Well, a part of me says we ought to just stop there, because when we try to implement, I'll probably come up with all the wrong things. Won't you? Do you not get it? Do I not get it? It's a very simple truth. Is there something that is set apart by God and is therefore very precious? Don't just hand over control of that to those who by nature are vicious and unclean. They will not appreciate what you have given them. In fact, they'll tear at you for giving it to them. Do you know anything that you have that has been set apart by God, and therefore is pure, and therefore is precious? I'd encourage you not to limit in your mind that to anything in particular, but to think of all the things that God has given to you that are pure and are precious and valuable. Are you going to just hand it over? Let somebody else take control of it? Those people who are vicious, who cannot appreciate what it is that you gave them, and indeed will be so upset that you gave it to them, they're going to tear you to shreds. Got some things in your mind? Like your kids? like truth, like a thousand other things that God has given you that are pure and precious. Don't hand over control of them to people who can't appreciate them and indeed will somewhat disdain what you have done. Well, let me just tell you how this has been understood in a lot of different ways. By the way, it would be something like having a very special little child like Judd. He's cool. He's all right. And you say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hand over the control of him to a child molester. And I'm going to be gone for the day. Would you do that? Would you ever in your right mind think of something like that? You say, absolutely not. What parent would possibly do that? What you see in the context of this is this. There's a world of difference between the way I handle the speck in my brother's eyes. World of difference. Between that and the way I handle the things that have been pure and precious in the sight of God and handed to me to control and watch over. It's a world of difference. On the one side, it's a restriction on wrong judgment. Be careful you don't judge. There's a speck in your brother's eye and you're out after it, even though there's a beam in your... There's a world of difference between that and the reality that God has given to me and to you some things that are pure, set apart to Him and by Him, and they're precious. And I'm supposed to take care of them, and I'm supposed to be a steward of them. And I just don't hand them over to people who can't handle them well, who can't appreciate what it is, and can't appreciate the one who gave it to them. Here's some ways that it's been understood throughout the centuries. Some have said, you're not to allow the Gentiles into the church. I'm glad that one doesn't sound right to me, because therefore I would not be allowed in the church. But some have said that's what it means. Acts chapter 15, only Jews are allowed into the church. Well, most of us don't come to that conclusion, but that's a historical one. Some have said what this is really teaching is that you have to limit who is involved in the Lord's Supper, the communion as we took it today. One of the manuals of Syria, called the Didache, the teachings of the 12 apostles, and it's a Syrian manual of the early 1st, 2nd, or 3rd century, said this, but do not let anyone eat or drink of the Eucharist, which is their word for the Lord's Supper, except those who have been baptized in the Lord's name. For, concerning this, the Lord said, do not give what is holy to the dogs. And so some would say you have to be real careful who comes to communion, and if they're not baptized, they shouldn't be, because that's what Christ said. There are many who say, as you know, that this passage is really saying this. Be careful how you witness. Don't just throw the gospel willy-nilly to anybody. You just don't fling the gospel out there. You have to be careful about all that. They would give you examples such as this. With Thomas and Peter, there was patience. But with Herod and Pilate, Christ said nothing. They would tell you that in Matthew chapter 10, when Christ said to the disciples in their, training session. He says, now it's time for you guys to get out there and go. And the disciples are about to get out there and go. He says, now if you go to a village and there you bring this gospel message to people and, they don't accept it and they don't appreciate it, then wipe the dust off your feet, shake off your clothes and walk out of there. Go away. And maybe that's what it's saying. They would give you the example of Capernaum in Matthew chapter 11. Christ would say to Capernaum, if the mighty works that had been done in your city had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. And Christ walked out of Capernaum and said, you guys just don't get it, do you? You disdain what I just gave you. And you're trying to attack me, the one who gave it to you. Therefore, I am out of here. They would tell you that in Luke chapter 13, there was the illustration of the parable about the fig tree that wasn't bearing fruit. And so Christ cursed it and destroyed it. They would tell you about the apostles in Acts chapter 13, where they were out preaching. And in verse 45 and on, you remember they went out and preached there in that first missionary endeavor of Paul and Barnabas. And they came to that one city and they didn't respond. So it says they shook the dust off their feet and cleaned off the bottom of their clothes and they walked out. And said, that's it. You guys don't like it, don't appreciate it. Done with you. Acts chapter 18, verse 5. Again, it says they shook their garments. And they said, your blood is not on us. We're done. And so it may mean that there is a limit to the presentation of the gospel. And those who disdain it and attack the one who is giving it, just don't do it. Don't give it to them. But I challenge myself on that one. Is that what it's saying? I am sure there are times when just it's better and it's wiser to walk out and say, I'm not going to talk anymore. It's not getting anywhere. They're only getting madder and madder and madder. So I'll just back off. I'll walk away. But does that mean I never present the gospel to those people again? I think many of us are glad there are people who kept presenting the gospel to us in spite of our hard-headedness, in spite of our own heart, and didn't give up because of the day we said, I don't need that, don't want that, and don't want like it. So maybe it's the presentation of the gospel, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's greater than the gospel. Maybe it's truth. You understand that the concept of dogs in the New Testament in particular, even in the Old Testament, I think, for the dogs, as it's used in a religious sense, are always those who are opposed to the program of God and in a sense are opposed to the truth of God. And so it says in Philippians, beware of the dogs, you know, the ones of the circumcision, the guys who are the false prophets. Even here in Matthew chapter 7, if you go down to verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And so often dogs are associated with false teaching and false prophecy and apostasy. And so it may be that it's more than the gospel that we're being talked about. But it's truth in general, the presentation of truth. And if that would be true, that's a scary thought. If you are presenting truth to somebody and they disdain it, they just trample it underfoot, and then they turn around and attack you because you gave it to them, back off. Don't do that. Don't give it to them. By the way, there's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? Have you ever done that? You saw somebody, a believer in Jesus Christ, a brother in the Lord, or maybe not a believer in Jesus Christ. And you just saw that their life had a problem. And for whatever reason, God had helped you to understand something about the truth of Scripture that you know would help them. It's something in their life they're just not doing right. And you have the truth of God's word. And so you willingly go to them with the truth of God's word to help them through this problem of sin or whatever it is in their life. And as you bring that truth to them, they disdain the message you bring. And they get upset with you for having the audacity to point out sin in their life. Have you had that problem? I think you have. I think many of us have had that. They trample the gift. They tear to shreds the giver. And it may be that that's what he's talking about. It may be that we have to watch out. But maybe it's even bigger than that. Maybe he is trying to say this. If you have anything that has been set apart by God and therefore is pure, and because it's from God, it is precious, and he has given you the stewardship of it, you are in charge of it. It's in your hands. You control it. You are a fool to hand it over to somebody else and say, have at it. If that other person cannot appreciate the gift and will tear to shreds the giver. And maybe we have to expand that to 1,000 areas of our life, that God has given us something that we have been entrusted with. He says, you just hang on to it until you can find somebody who would appreciate it. Somebody who can appreciate the value of what it is that you are now letting them control for this period of time in their life. And we could probably think of a lot of areas in your life. But about the time you think you got it, it may be that it suddenly hits you what it's really all about. Maybe it's not about other people. Maybe it's not warning me to be careful what I give to other people. Maybe it's about me. Maybe it's about my life. Maybe I'm the dog. And maybe I'm the hog. Maybe there were times in my life when God sent somebody into my life with that which was pure and that which was precious, and I didn't appreciate it. I just didn't appreciate it. In fact, I so didn't appreciate what you brought to me that I attacked. And I got upset. I even got mad.
I tried to tear you to shreds. That maybe what he's trying to say is not, you be, watch out for those bad people out there. Maybe what he's trying to say is, you watch out that you're not a bad person. You watch out when somebody tries to give you what is pure and wants to turn over to you what is precious, that you don't act like a dog and you don't act like a hog. But you appreciate that they would take the time to hand over to you something so pure. And they would take the time and have the courage to hand over to you something that's so precious, that you so desperately needed. And maybe he's saying to you and to me, make sure you're not a hog. And make sure you're not a dog. Have you ever reacted incorrectly when people brought you truth? Or brought you something that you needed? Have you ever done that? You know what happens then? They're not going to come back. You and I quickly know. If I do that to somebody and they just tear me to shreds, I say, goodbye. Never trying that one again. You're on your way and you're on your own. God help me not to be that kind of person who can't take the judgment and the criticism of other people. As they evaluate my life and see something that I need, and that would be pure and precious to my heart and to my life, God help me not to be a dog or a hog. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this passage. And I am thankful there have been people in my life who have correctly judged and evaluated the needs of my heart. And they have come to me with that which was pure and precious. And Father, I quickly confess to you, and we all quickly confess to you, the times that we didn't take it well. We were offended. We were defensive. We attacked. We trampled. Oh, Father, I pray that you'd help us to realize there's wrong judgment, but there's also right judgment. The guy with a beam in his eye trying to remove my speck is wrong. But the person who knows the needs of my heart and comes and talks to me, he's of great value to me. I pray, Father, that you would help us to grasp the meaning of this passage, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.